Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editor talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. Wow, we've got the full slate of peeps here today. We're missing Vinny Driscoll. We've got a new...
Almost full.
A Frenchman's going to be answering phone calls today.
Compliment him on his accent.
Jan is here. He's the head of ASI Central. Wow, he gets applause.
The rest of us get nothing.
So if you want to hear Jan and his French accent, call us today, 215-953-4979. Today's call-in question is, how can I get more press coverage for my business? If you have any questions or ideas about getting PR for your business, call Jan, 215-953-4979. Joe, what will we give you if we put you in the air?
Oh, today? The big prize pack, $25 Visa gift card. You get the finger puppets, you get the fans, and you're going to get a Joe Show mouse pad. How about that?
Did you see that guy that posted pictures with all of our hand fans?
No.
Like individually on Facebook?
No.
So disturbing.
Yes.
No, was he
lovely.
Playing radio show?
It's on our, I think he was.
Well, Kathy Houston, welcome back. You were out last week. You were taking your son off to college?
No, it was pre-move-in day.
Pre-move-in.
We take him this Saturday. Yeah.
So what does pre-move-in day mean?
It's when you could drop off a bunch of your junk before actual move-in day to save time.
All right. And Joe Haley, you've got a son going back to which college in a few days?
York College of PA. Saturday. An apartment.
Andy Cohn is here. Yeah. Your son is not starting college.
He's far from it.
Where's he starting?
He's starting fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Yeah. So you can start saving your pennies now, hopefully.
Tell me about
for this. And Michelle Bell, everyone's favorite supplier, global resource editor, is here.
It's a mouthful.
Michelle, what are you working on these days?
What are your cats doing?
Can I just tell you about this promotion I heard on the way in?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, so does everyone know that marijuana is now legal in Seattle?
Oh, yeah. Well, state of Washington.
It is. Mm-hmm. So the police force in Seattle held this big rally to educate people on, you know, what's legal, what's not, what measurements of marijuana. I know, where's Jake when we need him, right?
This is great.
What measurements of marijuana are legal. So this, the police did this, and they gave out as samples logoed bags of chips and Doritos.
Oh, awesome.
I gotta tell you, the funniest thing.
Have you seen their tweets?
That's really funny.
And their
really
signage
funny.
On the roadway?
Yeah, that's like, so
no.
Funny.
So what that's is... Funny. What are the main restrictions? Is it amount?
It's amount. Yeah, you can.
But anyone can have it, not just for medical reasons.
That's correct. Yeah.
Huh?
You just go crazy.
Let's move to Washington.
Have a few beers.
Well, our friend Mitch Munger lives there, so perhaps we can go visit him because I think he's enjoying this new law.
All right.
Good to hear. We'll be out in Seattle for a couple days.
Joe, what else do we have? Oh, we are going to Seattle.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Michelle will suddenly sign up for the trip.
We'll come back with some stories.
Joe Haley, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, also in the studio is Mina Lee. She's manning the sound effect board.
Hi, Mina.
She got left out.
Oh.
All right, we're going to tell you how to be social media savvy like Richard Branson. We're also going to take a lesson from, I think it's One Direction, not New Direction, how to build
New loyalty. Direction is Glee, just so everyone knows.
Oh, I Glee in my mind.
Four tips to get over your public speaking anxiety. I don't think there's one person in this room who's afraid to get up in front of people and speak.
Me.
I am.
But you do it. You do
it. But I hate it.
Okay.
But you look like a pro when you're doing it.
Well, we're going to have four tips.
In more ways than one.
We have six business questions every business plan should answer. How to think like Warren Buffett, the pros and cons of hiring remote workers. When we have time, hopefully we'll get to our favorite things. But let's start the show off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
Wow. Okay, thanks, Joe. We begin this morning with tax news. Let me bring it down a little bit. The IRS has begun cracking down on small businesses. The federal agency has sent more than 20,000 notices in the past 6 months to small U.S. companies claiming that they underreported their revenues for tax purposes. The initiative is targeting companies that show an unusually high percentage of sales settled through credit cards. On to international news now. Chinese e-commerce company Alibaba Group has reportedly purchased a minority stake in U.S. firm ShopRunner, which is a retail shipping service. The deal, which is part of a string of recent investments made by Alibaba, is expected to be worth about $75 million. General economic news now. Back to school sales for retailers have jumped about 5% so far this year. Check out today's counselor program to see how distributors are capitalizing on the seasonal trend. Top 40 financial news now. Top 40 supplier American Apparel announced that it increased its overall company revenues by 9% in the second quarter of 2013, including a 16% sales increase in its wholesale division. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and program today. Joe, what's hot for today?
We have something called the boogie board, but it's not what you think. When you think of boogie board, you think of what?
Surfing.
Right. It's not a surfboard, so you have to check it out. That's all I'm saying.
I'm afraid.
Throw a curveball at the audience there, Joe.
All right. We have our friend Leighton Lee from ETS Express on the line with our product safety minute. Good morning, Leighton.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is well.
Yep. Yes, you are going to talk today about factories and what happens when your test fails at the factory. Is that right?
In a testing lab. Well, in a test lab.
Sorry.
And it's a little bit having to do with what Michelle was earlier talking about, measurement of something, some substance. So we're going to talk about false measurements in the test lab. And recently I was testing some components for one of our products, and the lab reported back to me that it had failed for phthalates. Well, first of all, I know the material doesn't contain phthalates because it just doesn't contain plasticizers. But I tested just to be sure, so I have a test report to show for it. So I had the lab go back and I said, this cannot be right. Are you sure you did it right? And he goes, yeah, we're sure. So I said, go back and test it again. And lo and behold, it passed the second time, the same samples and same everything. So it made me think about a few things. And the purpose of this product safety minute this morning is to illustrate how the lab can sometimes be imperfect and how certain samples can be contaminated or the equipment might give off a false positive. In this case, we'll never know. I've talked to the lab ad nauseum about it, and they said, we just don't know. And so I've narrowed it down to a couple of things. One, that there might have been an electrical spike in the facility or at the equipment itself. Remember, these tests are all done by computer nowadays. So massive computers, they inject a certain amount of compound or liquefied material into the computer through these nozzles. And it measures each little drop and tests it and analyzes it. So the equipment could have gotten an electrical spike, which would send the signal off. It could have also been the result of a radio frequency interference, RFI, a piece of equipment nearby or something that just caused it to spike with the RFI. That would also send off a false positive. Now, contamination. This is a very, very plausible reason why samples fail in the lab, is that in the previous testing for another customer, let's say, a lab technician may have forgotten or neglected to clean the equipment or the beakers or the instruments properly. So it might have been contaminated by a previous sample that was tested in the lab. So what should distributors and suppliers do when they are faced with a failing test report? Don't accept it for face value. Don't accept it that it just failed. I would strongly suggest that the vendor or the supplier or distributor go back to the lab and say, I know you have more samples there. I want you to retest it now, because we're all faced with tight deadlines. We got a week before delivery or before shipping, and there's no time to remake the entire order. So while you're talking to your factory, have the lab do the retesting, and a fair amount of times it may come back as a pass on the retest. And that is the product safety minute for this week.
Okay, thank you. Important suggestions from Leighton Lee. Have a great day, Leighton. Thanks for calling
in.
You
too. Be well. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take your calls right now, 215-953-4979. We're talking about how to get more press coverage for your business. Give us a call. You'll win the ASI prize pack. Plus, you'll get to talk to Jan, our Frenchman, who is manning the phones today. On line one, we have Frank. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I have a question. I have a competitor here in my hometown, and I have seen this guy get quoted about three or four times in one of the local media outlets whenever there's anything on promotional products. And I think I can get in on this, and I want to know how I can get my name out there so I'm on their radar when they're looking for a quote.
Good question. Now, Frank, are you? Do you know members of the media? Do you send them press releases and things like that?
I've sent them stuff before, but I admit I haven't really been that diligent about it. So I think I could do more to make myself noticeable.
I think you should use what you do and send promotional products. You know, I'm a big fan of self-promotion campaigns, and I think that you should do a targeted mailing using, you know, some creative copy, tie in promos to many editors at your newspaper and reporters as well. And don't just target one newspaper. Kind of go outside the outlying area of where you live and show them what you can do rather than just sending a press release.
And if you can tie in your releases and the products to either news events or holidays well in advance of those holidays, that would be a really good idea. We do that at ASI. I mean, we'll come out, you know, a month before Valentine's Day. Joe will give his list of sexy Valentine's Day products. You may have seen it. It's quite entertaining. Anyway, you know, he does a video, but he showcases that. And, you know, people pick that up because they say, all right, well, here's what companies are giving out for such and such a holiday. You can do it for Earth Day as well. And, you know, the products that we have in the industry are super cool and unique, and a lot of people don't know about them, and it's something that will get picked up by media. An example of a news type angle that you might do, for instance, is, you know, when flu season comes around, ASI always sends out a release about a spikes in hand sanitizer, logoed hand sanitizer sales.
Okay.
That always gets picked up because people are looking for, you know, to report on the flu, and they're looking for a new angle. So, you know, anytime you can tie into something like that, I think that's great. I mean, you're the expert in promotional products. So, you know, and I think that's more interesting than sending out, you know, I see distributors sending out press releases. Okay, they have a new sales rep or a new, you know, things like that. That might get a mention in the paper. It might not. But this could lead to maybe a bigger story.
You know, Barbara Corcoran, who speaks at her shows often, she says, do the work for the reporters. She used to get little focus groups of her friends, and then she would get, you know, ask them questions and come up with statistics. 75% of the people that we surveyed say this. So you could do the same thing if you're selling promotional products. The hottest school product, back-to-school product, is hoodies. You know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Get, you know, 15 kids.
Love that stuff.
Yeah, 15 kids. You ask that question. You've done the work for them, and that's kind of what our press releases do here at ASI.
Exactly.
That does all the work for them, so then they just have to, you know, package it how they want to package
and
it.
And people love numbers.
And they
numbers.
Go for it. Yes. Yeah. So and also make yourself available to them. Tell them that you're available to speak
and
on a Friday.
And don't call them
products.
Back 2 days later because their deadline has passed, for sure.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, Frank, hope that gives you some great ideas. Stay on the line for your ASI prize pack, and thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Call us at 215-953-4979. We're talking about how to get more press coverage for your business. And on line two, we have Liz.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. My question is, what types of things should I try to get press coverage for?
Okay. I don't know if you just heard the last call, but certainly tying your products into holidays. Another good idea, by the way, around October is corporate gifts. A lot of newspapers do stories on what's hot for corporate gift giving this year. You could certainly position yourself as an expert for that. Andy, I think you have some.
I would try to get any coverage you can for any charitable efforts that you do in the community, or really any involvement that you have with any community events or organizations that put on local events. I think that that's a great way to get your name out there. If you're supplying any of the branded products for a local charity golf tournament or a charity walk that's happening in the fall, you know, do a little promotion around that. And the fact that you're supplying the product shows what your business is, but also just getting your name attached to a community event is positive PR for your business.
You know, a local sports organization I'm involved with, we get some support from one of the local car dealerships, and they send the photographer out, and we get some of our athletes, some of the kids, standing, posing with the products that they give us. They give us, like, soccer balls and nets and all type of different things, and they send a photographer out, and then they send it to the local paper. You know, look how this car dealerships helping this organization. Very smart. And it gets them, you know, and again, they've done that work. You got a picture, you've got a caption there, and they can just go on a community relations type page.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That is a great point. I would take as many pictures as you can of any of the campaigns that you do for clients. Any of, like I was saying, any charitable organizations that you're working with or community events, local media outlets, not just for their printed products, but their websites are looking for a lot of pictures these days. And if you can, like Joe said earlier, do the work for them in that area, then that can help you get press for your business and give them what they're looking for.
All right. I hope that gives you some good ideas, Liz. Thanks for calling and stay on the line. It's not too late to give us a call at 215-953-4979. Michelle, I know that we've gotten some Facebook comments on this topic.
We have quite a few. One from Judy Brown says, with regard to PR, I have to thank all of you at ASI Radio. I listen and participate during the show as much as possible, but I also see some of my comments appearing in Advantages and other publications. And I was recently interviewed for the article about the wedding industry, which is the cover story, right,
right,
for Advantages. And she says she uses all of those mentions to boost PR for her business. So
smart.
I think whether or not she's posting that online, that's really smart and savvy way to
that's
do it.
That's great. And that's a reminder to send us your ideas and case studies and anything you're interesting that you're working on with a client. Send it to Kathy at Advantages or Andy or
no, just
Michelle.
Kathy.
You know, we write about, you know, great case studies all the time in our magazines.
Competitive
and that
much?
Certainly is great PR. Michelle, you have some more comments.
I do. Eric Campbell makes the point that he has found it's really important to respond in a promptly, timely manner, as
like you
were
you
saying,
said. Yeah.
back to reporters, whether it be through email, social media, that he finds that he gets quoted more often, the more quickly that he responds to writers and editors.
You know what I
true.
Find? Sorry to cut you off there. I think people who are smart respond immediately with, if it's an email, if you know, I'll send people emails and asking them questions for input that we're looking for an article. Some people respond like within seconds.
Yep.
What's your deadline on this?
Yep.
Because then that gives them an out. If I then say, you know, it's going to be a week from now, you know, any time within the next week to talk would be great, then they know that time frame. If I say it's actually tomorrow, which sometimes it is, then they know that if they have time, they can participate. If they don't, then they'll tell me. But that immediate response is something that reporters really kind of need.
And, you know, if it's a daily newspaper, chances are their deadline's that day.
For sure.
I used to work for daily newspaper. And what I would do, because you're under such a time crunch, I'd call 10 people knowing that, you know, the first two people who get called back are going to be in the story and I'm going to write it, file it, and then I'm on to the next one.
Right.
So asking the deadline is a really important question. I agree.
There's one more really good comment from David Garthwaite. It says, when it comes to good PR, you have to give before you get. Volunteering and donations go a long way in generating PR. Donating a promotional item has a greater effect if you're a distributor. It shows you care and demonstrates the service you can provide.
All right. Well, those are some great Facebook comments. We're going to just pause for a message from today's show sponsor, AIA. And when we return, we're going to find out how to be more like Richard Branson. Who doesn't want to be like him?
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized, individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Kathy, we talk a lot about social media.
That's right.
And apparently Richard
That's
Branson,
right.
among
That's
his
right.
many talents, is very savvy in this way. What
right.
can we learn from
well,
him?
Well, he has four tips for you. First, use social media to highlight issues that affect us all. So use your blog post to highlight a world event or something that's going to affect the industry or a certain market.
He does that all the time. I follow him on Twitter. He's great about that.
Right. I follow him on Twitter, too. A blog post can kickstart a debate and make an impact in the real world. Social media isn't just a one-way street. So number two is try to make time to reply to people. Mm-hmm. Don't just expect them to answer you. Tell a few jokes. Don't take yourself
Michelle's
too seriously.
Rolling her eyes at that one. She doesn't
You'll
like,
reply.
No, she doesn't
on your
like
blog.
The interaction.
Only if they're cute.
Yeah, only if they're cute.
She's well, all about the one-way.
You could do that. You have a lot of opportunities to make people smile via social media, so don't take things too seriously all the time. And then be genuine. Try to make your posts and tweets provide a true reflection of your own personality. You do that, definitely.
Back at you, Kathy.
All right,
I think
thanks.
That's important, though, because people are, I think, trying to be somebody else in social media all the time. And then
who are you trying to be?
Yeah, who are you trying to be?
I'm trying to be me. It's really difficult.
All right, we're going to put those tips online at asicentral.com/radio. Andy's the perfect person to talk about this next topic because
so
apparently
ridiculous.
One Direction, you know, the little
Not
boy band,
direction.
One Direction has some tips on building loyalty. And Andy has been to a One Direction
yes, he has.
Concert, and he has told me that it's he's true. Even Who? Sung out loud at the concert.
Oh. Seriously? No,
can you give us a little sample?
I don't believe
and
I said that. Part
you
of it.
Sent me a picture while you were at the
I
concert.
Did. Well, I went to said concert about a year and a half
Who's
ago.
Who's your favorite One Directioner?
I really don't know. Thankfully, my son has moved past the One Direction infatuation, so we're moving
now?
On. Oh, I don't know. Thankfully, not a boy band of any kind, I think.
Lady Gaga?
Sure. No.
I don't think so.
Katy Perry?
God.
I'm just asking.
Maybe it's Florida, Joe.
Could be Florida.
Joe thought like Florida was Florida.
Yes.
All right, let's move on.
Anyway, I will say that being at a One Direction concert, as the writer of this article, I'm not sure where it came from, but we will post it online. The writer of this article also went to a One Direction concert and was struck by a few things about how they increased their customer loyalty. And I would agree with this guy. I saw saw it firsthand. And a few things that they do very well. They really appeal to the kind of wants and desires and incredibly loud shrieks of their teenage girl audience.
And Andy. And Andy's son.
I brought earplugs to this concert and used them, as did any father who was around me. All brought earplugs because the shrieking is truly incredible. It's like nothing you've ever heard
before.
Yeah,
I've been to a Justin Bieber concert.
Okay, so you've heard
she
it.
Knows.
I have.
Yeah, so it's incredible, but it happens because they all the time throughout their concert appeal to the what their audience is looking for. Certain songs, certain lyrics, certain effects from the concert. So they know what their audience is looking for, and they give them that. They also exceed expectations and innovate. You know, they always present new songs at their concerts. Michelle's laughing at me at this point.
Because it's just ironic that Captain Killjoy is at a One Direction concert.
Yeah, oh, I was there. Yeah. Loving it. Couldn't wait to get out of there. So they exceed their audience's expectations with new material all the time. And I think that that's important. The idea of trying to provide new services to your clients helps to increase their loyalty. And the other thing that they do is that they constantly thank their audience for their business, essentially, you know, their attendance. They thank them for being there. They connect with them basically one-to-one. They read tweets live during the show, so people can feel like they're actually participating in the show, and that's a kind of level of connection that that you know you wouldn't normally get. But one, you know, each of the guys, I think there's five of them.
I think there's five of them.
You know, at one point during the concert, each one is reading tweets that people send during the concert. So it's live, and you know they're reading them, and they could. These crazy girls can say, "What does that?"
Harry read my tweet.
That Harry read my tweet.
It's the only one I know.
So there you go.
You know, last week there was a photographer went to who's the young girl that writes all the breakup songs?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. He went to Taylor Swift's concert and he took pictures of all the bored dads, all the dads sitting there like this.
That's like, awesome.
It was really good.
Well, Mark went to the Taylor Swift concert and he loved it.
Well, apparently. Mark would.
It's a different kind of guy.
All right. We're going to take a pause for a message from another show sponsor. When we return, Michelle's going to tell us how to get over your public speaking anxiety.
Have you outgrown your current order management software? ASI Computer Systems and ASI SmartBooks will streamline your business. From accounting and marketing to order management and shipping, ASI SmartBooks manages all aspects of your business with one software solution, specifically designed for the advertising specialty industry and fully integrated with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Spend less time organizing and more time making sales. Call 1-800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to grow your business with ASI SmartBooks. Get ASI SmartBooks.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday morning show. Michelle, you're a frequent speaker at our ASI shows.
And I hate every minute of it.
No one would ever know that you have public speaking anxiety because you're a great speaker. Always get great ratings. But you've got some tips today for other people who have this anxiety.
I do, because every time, right before I'm ready to get up on stage, I want to stick my head in a bucket. Who doesn't know that?
We don't want you to do
some
that.
Some of us want to hold that head down there, too. And keep it there for a little bit.
All right.
So here are four tips to help you get over your fear of public speaking. And I've actually tried some of these, and they're very effective. Number one, know your audience. If you're walking into a room where you don't know the people personally, so for example, if you're not speaking at your company where you know everyone in the room, try to get there early and talk to some of the people and at least make, you know, an initial connection. And I've done that before, and that really helps. It helps you when you're staying there. You can make eye contact with people that you obviously...
Yeah, friendly face.
Yeah, that you've had a little chat with. Number two, remember that they're there to see you. They see you as an expert. I struggle sometimes at different venues where I speak. It's like, what could these people possibly want to hear from me? But they really, they recognize that you have a skill set, a breadth of experience that you're bringing, and that they really want to hear you. So just keep that in mind when you're speaking. And you're nodding too, because I know you hate public speaking as well, Kathy.
I don't do it.
I know.
Well, when we force you sometimes.
No.
All right.
Three, be properly prepared. That makes all the difference. Last year, I had to give a presentation that was so far out of my skill set because it had to do with numbers and statistics and all of Andy's favorite things. And I stayed up all night pacing, reading this presentation over and over and over again. But it really made all the difference because I felt immeasurably more comfortable when I was on the stage. And last, they said, have fun. And I disagree with that because to me, it's never fun. The fun part is when I'm finally done and off the stage. But they said, if you can get to that point where you actually enjoy being up there, it makes all the difference. I haven't quite gotten there yet, but
well, you know what? If you try to do some fun things to engage the attendees, you know, I sometimes will ask like trivia questions or hand out prizes. I know Dave Vagnone does this a lot. He'll hand out candy bars if people answer right questions. And if you could do something to make people laugh a little, then that makes you feel better too, feel comfortable. So I would agree with that tip as well.
I think. Sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
I was going realizing that a lot of people are afraid to get up there, too. So, you know.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's just like, you know, so you're getting up there and people are, you know, would never do that. So I think that makes me feel a little comfortable. But there's always that one person out there that's just like, give me the stink eye. It's like, why can't I get across to this person?
I don't care about that person. Honestly, I don't care. And I also don't care if somebody leaves. If you don't like the session, I don't. Go ahead. Please.
Maybe they just have to go to the bathroom.
They could have to do that too. And you can't get concerned about those sort of things because I think people get thrown off when they see somebody leave a room or they see somebody falling asleep. You know, it happens. And that's just the way it is. And you can't control that. You just have to move on.
You know, experts say that, you know, people who are up there speaking often think people in the audience don't want them to succeed. That's often the case, not the truth. They really do want you to
succeed. It's painful to see someone, you know, really struggling. It really
for
is.
For sure.
That opened my eyes this year when John Sanders, he's one of our most highly rated speakers at the ASI shows. And I just learned this year that he's terrified, you know, 5 minutes before each time he goes up, he gets terrified.
Really?
And I thought he was joking. And he's like, no, I feel like I'm going to throw up. And then he goes out there and he kills it. And he looks so comfortable and he's laughing.
He looks so relaxed.
And he wears his funny shoes and he gets, you know, almost a 10 score. So, you know,
and that's just for his funny shoes.
Yep. But, you know, it made me feel a little better. Okay, well, if he's nervous and he looks, you know, he pulls it off, then any of us can. So
I think it wouldn't be normal if you didn't get a little nervous.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're getting in front of
a room.
Some
of it's a little excitement, which is good.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of be nervous about some things.
It's interesting, though, that people, like, I've been up there and people say, you don't seem nervous at all.
Right.
Like, oh, if you only knew.
I think it's able to control that voice. You can hear it in the voice sometimes. You know, it's like, ooh, that person sounds nervous. Yeah. If you can control the voice, I think you're in better shape.
We have just enough time left in today's show for editors to present their favorite products of the week. Kathy, why don't you start us off?
Okay, mine is the Beat Bottle from Adenard Inc., ASI 31518, and it's a very cool new water bottle that turns the iPhone 4 and 5 into a mini boombox. So it's like a water bottle and a speaker in one. It's pretty cool.
Wow. I think I need to see a picture of that.
Yes, you will.
All right, Andy.
You can right now on asicentral.com/radio.
I'm going to check it out.
Go do that. All right, football season is upon us, thankfully. So
really?
That means that tailgate parties are coming. So mine is a 10-quart cooler, which features a wet and dry storage compartment separated. It's available from Coolworks, which is ASI 46508. Check it out online now.
Joe Haley.
I have a set of coasters. They're from Special Market Sports.
That's
ASI 88572. Quarter-inch acrylic, so your high-res image underneath will not scratch. The condensation can't get to it. What I like about these is four different coasters your client's going to get. I like these. They have a very retro feel to them and have reminded me of the glasses you would get at McDonald's, you know, every time. So you wanted to collect that set, you would go back for the next glass that was in the set. If your client did this, one each year, a set each year, you can give away at the holiday times, or it might be something that their clients are going to want to come back and get year after year. You have the fourth one under there. They also have a little rubber dot on the bottom to keep them from sliding. And you can find them online at www.specialmarketsports.com.
All right, Michelle, what do you have?
Mine's from Gemline, ASI 56070, and it is the cutest little retro lunch cooler tote bag. It looks like...
Well, I thought it was a bowling bag.
No, but it looks like something that, like, airline stewardesses carried in the 60s. So it's really cute. So it is on our website, as Andy said it, asicentral.com/radio.
All right, we are out of time. Thanks today for listening, and thanks to today's show sponsors, AIA and ASI Computers. Wow, I'm really... bungling the end of the
just
show.
Sign it off,
it's his audience.
Have a great week, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.